This is the way it's being billed. Two women, multiple truths, one landmark Supreme Court case. Roe by Lisa Loomer is an historically sweeping play with a large ensemble cast that illuminates the history of one of the most polarizing social issues of the modern era, the Roe versus Wade U.S. Supreme Court ruling that established a woman's right to an abortion. The play provides a reminder of the human stories behind the debates and how hard work has been done to compassionately communicate with people with whom we may disagree. Roe will be presented as a creatively designed digital production. Performances will be available October 7th through October 20th. This is all part of WHAM, and we're going to go to our dear friend, WHAM producing artistic director Kristen Van Genhoven, and as well as the scenic designer of the play, Juliana von Hobrick. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having us on again. It's always great to be on WAMC.
Well, thank you. So, how did this come about, Kristen?
Well, this was a long journey to get to the place where we are right now, and it felt like 12 lifetimes. But about 3.5 years ago, the play was sent to me, and I fell in love with it. And we were trying to get the rights for 3 years, but because of its early success, it had been optioned for Broadway. Finally, we got the rights last year for this coming season, and then, of course, COVID hit. So at that point, we had to think, well, what are we going to do? Even then, the story felt so incredibly relevant and resonant. Abortion is such a divisive topic in this country. And, you know, when we think about reproductive justice and we think about how much difficulty we're having as a nation dialoguing across difference, whether it's abortion or whether it's any other issue, we thought this felt like a very important play in an election year to bring to our audiences. So despite COVID, we brainstormed with the creative team to find a way to bring it to everybody. And we're in the final stages of making that all happen. And it's going to be available for 4 days as a digital production from October 17th to the 20th.
So before we get to Juliana, tell us about how you decided to do this when it comes to virtually and making it available to people.
Yeah, thank you for the question. You know, it was a group decision with all of us on the creative team trying to, you know, as we all are doing, figure out how to fly the plane, you know, while we're in it. So back in April, we started brainstorming, and I'm glad Juliana's here because she has been an extraordinarily powerful artistic force in making this happen. She has film background as well as theater background. We knew we wanted it to be more than a Zoom reading. We wanted to be able to give our designers work and our actors work. So many actors and designers and creative people have lost so many jobs that we wanted to find a way for us to be able to tell this story with them. And what it essentially became is that Juliana storyboarded the entire play. And now we're working with a production company called Outpost Productions, who are, you know, taking our Zoom rehearsals, literally moving the boxes around, adding virtual backgrounds, adding sound cues. We actually worked with the actors, with our costume team, and created a whole costume design palette based on what the actors already had in their homes. We also mailed them a few things, like a doctor's robe that some people just don't have hanging around in their house. And we called those recipe boxes. We literally created these virtual digital recipe boxes, sent them to the actors, and then had 25 hours of rehearsal with the actors. That's what we were allowed with our agreement with the actors union. And now the editing company is making it look like Juliana's storyboards.
All right, Juliana, you're up. Tell us about how you make this a reality. It seems like there's a lot of challenges, or were a lot of challenges.
Yeah, there were a lot of challenges. I always tell people designing this show during COVID was like designing a sandcastle in a storm. It just kept changing the shape of it and what it could be. But the storyboards were really essential, and thank goodness for my early experience in film. because that really became our roadmap for telling the story. And for me, as a visual storyteller, I am just obsessed with telling good stories. And I will use whatever utensil you give me to tell that story, because I am so, you know, compelled to tell these stories. And this one in particular was so powerful and so timely right now, which is unfortunate that it is still timely. But I was just compelled to tell this story with whatever means we had at our disposal. And using Zoom, we have learned so much about Zoom. And we've used it, I think, really creatively. We're standing on the shoulders of a lot of people who've already been experimenting creatively with Zoom. So I feel lucky that we've been able to play so much, and to have somebody like Outpost take that and turn it into something amazing.
So how does it work when people log on and they want to, when they want to watch it and see it, how does it work?
Yeah, that's a great question, Joe. And we've also been lucky to have T-Square Design Studio working with us to create a website that is specifically for folks who have purchased tickets to Row. We really wanted this to be an experience where the play, watching the digital production, is one way that people can engage with this topic of reproductive justice, with this idea of thinking about the human right to maintain personal bodily autonomy, to have children, to not have children, and to parent the children you have in safe and sustainable communities. This issue of abortion really minimizes the larger topic of how we choose to become parents or choose not to become parents, or how we parent or what support we have when we parent. So we wanted to take this divisive topic and provide the audiences the opportunity to engage in many different ways with exploring their own core values and beliefs around this issue and have the opportunity to learn more. So T-Square Design Studio has created this extraordinary Row site where we have four wings: a listen wing, a watch wing, a discuss wing, and a learn wing. So obviously our patrons can go to the watch wing from October 17th to the 20th, and they can press a button, and at any time, it's like a DVD. So honestly, they can watch it all in one go on next Saturday night at 8 o'clock with a coffee and a snack, or they can watch it in chunks over the course of the 4 days that it's available and watch a little bit at a time. Once they have the passcode, they can watch it at any time during those 4 days. They can also go to the different wings of the site and listen to interviews with our reproductive justice scholar in residence, Dr. Laura Briggs, who's answering audience questions that folks have about the history of Roe v. Wade or about reproductive justice in general. They can listen to three incredible interviews with the three Roe beneficiaries, because as you know, Joe, WAM donates a portion of our box office proceeds to organizations that are working towards gender equity. And we had selected three organizations for Roe before the pandemic happened. And knowing that our box office proceeds will be different because of the pandemic, we still wanted to highlight these organizations, especially now in a pandemic when they're working so much harder for their constituents. So the three beneficiaries are the Abortion Rights Fund of Western Massachusetts, the Railroad Street Youth Project, who are the only providers of sexual health education in South County here in the Berkshires, and Sister Song, who are based, well, all around the states, but they're really advocating in states that are having a lot of issues around reproductive justice. So folks can watch interviews with those three, learn much more about reproductive justice, about how these three organizations are working towards it. We also have a discuss wing where we've got opportunities for people to engage with the artists, come to a talk back with the artist on October 22nd, read some interviews with the actors, also engage in a really special dialogue we're having with Essential Partners, which is small group dialogue where we really will get the opportunity in a structured, reflective dialogue process to deepen our understanding around our own core values and beliefs and to hear others. And this doesn't come down to pro-choice, pro-life. This is much more about our own ideas, our own values, our own beliefs around reproductive justice as a much broader, complex, nuanced theme.
Juliana, as a scenic designer, obviously we talked about some of the challenges, but the content has to guide it all, doesn't it?
It really does. It is your guiding star. Your North Star is the story. I always tell people I am the perpetual audience member always in my head. You know, I am the audience member for all my shows. And, you know, what I see in my head is what I hope the audience sees as well. The story is everything.
And when you see these actors, I think our audiences are just going to be amazed. Almost all of the actors are Berkshire-based and Capital Region-based professional actors, 10 of them, as well as this design team, you know, that is locally based. And they are extraordinary, and they tell the story so well. The story is narrated in Act One by Sarah Weddington, played by Tracy Liz Miller, who argued the Roe v. Wade case. But the play is called Roe, and it really follows Norma McCorvey, who was the human being behind the case, played by Tara Franklin. And we often say it's really, is it Roe the person versus Roe the case? And we meet the characters in both of these lives, and we get to learn about Norma McCorvey and the different systemic oppressions that that gave the consequences that resulted in the life that she had to lead. And it really opens our lives to these questions around what is the shape of her pain, and how, you know, what is it that that cultural, historically, societal, individually, interpersonally, systemically, what are the different factors that contributed to how her life ended up going? And I don't think, certainly as a Canadian having moved to the States, you know, I didn't really know very much about them. And then we have this extraordinary ensemble of actors who play many different characters. The play goes from, you know, the 1970s. We revisit the case. We actually hear the actual Supreme Court justice voices. That's part of the script as it's written by Lisa Loomer, where we captured the audio and you hear the justices. You get a little visitation of what was actually said during the court case. And now, of course, as we go into these Supreme Court hearings next week, and with the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, to whom we're honoring this production, unfortunately, in this country, this topic remains incredibly relevant.
And you'll like this, Joe, because we recorded that scene the day after Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away.
Wow.
It was incredibly powerful.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. You know, years ago, I interviewed Norma McCorvey, and I oversaw a panel, moderated a panel that, I just did an interview with her. It wasn't really a panel. We had other people in the audience that were guiding, but it was just her and me on the stage. But one of the things that I found so fascinating about her story is how her own views changed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And of course, we just had a new documentary, AKA Jane Roe, that came out, that on her deathbed, she claims that she changed her point of view because she was being paid. And honestly, we don't know. And to be honest, Joe, that's what I find is the greatest sadness around Norma McCorvey, is what are the, you know, it's the question that our scholar in residence asked, you know, what is the shape around Norma McCorvey's pain, and what are the different factors that contributed to it? Why was she a person that would change her mind, that did have to be scrappy, that had to find ways to persist? What are the ways in which society formed her as opposed to the other way around? And that's something that all of us are thinking so much more about over the, you know, the last 4 years, but in general, you know, and in the last few months. So she certainly was a colorful character, as they say, and Tara Franklin does an extraordinary job bringing her to life.
Colorful,
and Lisa,
yes.
Indeed. Lisa Loomer rewrote the end of the play for this.
Well, she didn't rewrite the end of the play for us, but she has been updating the play as different productions happen because, of course, things around this issue are constantly changed. So I think folks will be quite amazed as they watch it that although the play premiered in 2016, when you think about exactly what is going on in this moment in this country, the play still stands and is incredibly relevant.
Well, it is Roe by Lisa Loomer, and it's being presented as a creatively designed digital production. All of this thanks to our friends at Wham. Whamtheater.com for more information. www.whamtheater.com. Performances will be available October 17th through Tuesday, October 20th. And again, you can find out more information by going to whamtheater.com. Juliana and Kristen, I thank you so much for your time and for the beautiful work you do and bring to the community. Be well.
Thank you so much, Joe. We look forward to being back.
Thank you very much, as do we. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.